The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When Jesus saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then Jesus said to the Samaritan, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The Gospel of the Lord. By the words of the Holy Gospel, may our sins be blotted away. Please be seated. It's very fitting that on this day, when here in Canada we celebrate a Thanksgiving weekend, the Gospel speaks to us about a man who was grateful, a man who was thankful. 1 out of 10 healed by Jesus, who came back to say thank you. That gives us cause to ask ourselves, how grateful am I? Do I celebrate Thanksgiving and participate in a happy meal surrounded by friends and family? Or is gratitude part of my disposition every day, of every week, of every year? Am I by nature or by grace a person who is grateful and who shows that gratitude in turn towards others around me? It's a good occasion for us to look within. Now, although the reading speaks to us then and gives us this strong example of a man who was grateful, a man who was thankful, there's more to the readings today than just this, because it's not Thanksgiving in the rest of the world. And the reading wasn't chosen for Thanksgiving Day. It was chosen to teach us a larger lesson. And the larger lesson is about something we have received, about 2 gifts of God, in fact. St. Luke is the only one of the evangelists to recount this story. There are many episodes in the Gospel of St. Luke that are only recorded by him. He had a sensitivity to certain things that was different from that of the other evangelists, because Luke was not Jewish. He was not an Israelite. He was Syrian. He was a foreigner. But he had been converted, probably by the preaching of St. Paul, to belief in Jesus because of the great goodness, compassion, and wisdom that he found in Jesus' life and in his person. So he tells us this story. And it is the story of 10 men cured of leprosy. Now, to appreciate what it meant for the Jews to see someone cured of leprosy, we have to realize, as the first reading of today's Mass implies for us, that leprosy was one of the worst illnesses and the most feared conditions in the ancient world. Those of you who've seen the old production of Ben-Hur noted that lepers were forced to live outside of their homes, away from other people, in wilderness or in caves. The generous, the kind, would bring them food, but otherwise they were isolated completely because everyone was afraid of this terrible condition that caused living death. People saw their bodies decay all around them while they awaited death. And so the leper was someone who was shunned and feared. In Israel, if lepers were traveling, they had to cover their face and cry out to any passerby, "Unclean, unclean," so that healthy people would know to walk away at a distance. So in this instance, 10 men with leprosy approach Jesus. And instead of calling out "unclean," they call out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And they do it all together because the vocal cords are one of the first parts of the body to be affected by leprosy. And so you can't speak loudly. So all 10 speak together in order for Jesus to hear them. And when he hears them, he's immediately moved. And he says, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." Now, why does he do that? Because according to Mosaic law, if someone were afflicted by leprosy or some similar condition and were healed of it, he went to the priests as if they were public health officials, and they would certify the person to be healthy again, so that that person could show the paper and go back into society, go back to his own home, to his own village, and not be afraid of being killed, injured, or molested in some way by people who were afraid of him. Now, that was important because, though there was no cure for leprosy, there were other skin conditions that people mistook and feared for some pre-leprosy condition. So if you were covered with cold sores, or if you suffered from eczema or seborrhea or psoriasis, or some other skin condition that we know today has nothing to do with leprosy, you might have been in danger in the ancient world. So if you recovered from those conditions, you had to have some kind of certification to re-enter society. But the people knew that from true leprosy, there was no healing. There was no cure. There was a saying in Israel, only God can cure leprosy. And that saying comes from the first reading of today's Mass. We have just a little portion of the story of Elisha from the second book of Kings. But that story is a fascinating one. A Syrian general, not Jewish, not a believer, comes down with leprosy. A servant girl, a slave, probably taken a prisoner from Israel, a little Jewish girl, says, if you were in Israel, our holy prophet, the prophet Elisha, could heal you because he talks to God. And so Naaman went to his king, and the king wrote a letter to the king of Israel introducing Naaman and saying, I send him to you to be cured. And the king of Israel said, no one can cure leprosy except God. But Elisha said to him, send him to me. And Naaman went to Elisha, and Elisha told him, bathe in the Jordan River 7 times, and you will be clean. Now, the Jordan River was not a very impressive river. We have creeks and streams on the North Shore that were larger than the Jordan, and perhaps less muddy. So when Naaman heard this, he was offended. We have beautiful rivers in my country. Why doesn't he send me there? Why doesn't he come out and wave his hands over me and do something strange and wonderful? But his servant said to him, listen, if he told you to do something bizarre, you'd go do it. He's telling you to do something very simple. And so Naaman went into the water, bathed 7 times, and when he came out, he was clean. Now, when this happened, he was given the gift of faith. And he said, I will not worship any god except the God of Israel, the God of Elisha, this holy man. When the fathers of the church, who were the first successors of the apostles, great teachers, great writers, when they began to study the Old Testament through the key of Jesus, the way we're supposed to read the Bible, they said, why did Elisha pick the Jordan River? There are other rivers in Israel. Why the Jordan? Oh, because the Jordan River would be where the prophet John the Baptist would preach repentance. Oh, because the Jordan River would be the place where Jesus began his ministry and sanctified the water so that we could be baptized. Ah, so that means that Naaman and his leprosy are an image, a prophecy, a foreshadowing of what happens to us when we're baptized. We go into the water, insignificant water, a seashell full of water, a palm of water. And by God's power, we are cleaned, cleansed, washed of the leprosy of sin. And we're given new life. And faith, like Naaman. That's why this is important. That's why the reading is in today's gospel. If you want to be grateful for something, be grateful for your baptism. So when Luke heard the story of the 10 lepers who were healed by Jesus, he thought of Naaman. He thought of the cleansing. But he probably also thought of something else. The evangelists tell us that Jesus began to heal lepers immediately when he started preaching. Sometimes he healed them one by one. Sometimes he healed them all day long. Sometimes he healed them in a group, like this time. And that was evidence of what? Evidence that he is God, because only God can heal a leper. But there's something else. On this occasion, Jesus says to the lepers, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." So that meant that immediately they were to believe the healing has taken place. You're well, and you're going off now to be certified so that you can go back to your families. The one man who was a Samaritan, who wasn't used to the temple priests, realized what had happened, and he went back to Jesus, the new high priest, the priest of the new covenant, and thanked him. But what does this have to do with us? What does this have to do with our lives? Well, how does Christ forgive our sins after we've been baptized? He forgives them in the confessional. He forgives them in the confessional. God touches our hearts, and we repent. That's what gets you to the doorway. That's why you go to confession. But when we step inside, we speak our sins to the priest, and he declares us free. He absolves us. I absolve you of your sins. You see, it's almost as if Jesus is saying to us, you need the certification. Just as once the priests declared that a person was free from leprosy, so you need to be declared free from sin. That's why when Jesus instituted confession, he did so on the night of the resurrection, Easter Sunday, when he appeared to the apostles in the upper room, just after the two men from Emmaus had come and told their story, and Jesus said to the apostles, "Peace be with you, peace be with you." And breathing on them, he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whoever's sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. And whoever's sins you shall hold bound, they are held bound." How does the priest know which sins to forgive and which sins are not ready to be forgiven? We talk to him. We tell him. We go to confession. So the early fathers of the church, Augustine, Ephrem the Syrian, Leo the Great, all write about this Samaritan and say, this is a foreshadowing of the sacrament of confession. This is one of the foundations that Jesus lays to give us this gift of reconciliation and peace. And we must be grateful for it. So today's gospel invites us to be grateful, not just for the things that we remember as we join together at the table today, but for spiritual gifts that are ours whenever we wish. Whenever we are in need, we turn back to the Lord and we find forgiveness and we find reunion with those we have offended and we find peace in God. That is the great gift of that sacrament, and it is something that we should be grateful for and avail ourselves of. Many Catholics do not know that you have to go to confession once a year. That's called making your Easter duty. Oh, that went over like a lead balloon, didn't it? Yes, that's been on the books for about 1,800 years. So if you haven't gone to confession within the last year, get out your appointment book and arrange for it. And if you haven't been to confession in many months, think about it. It seems that people think they only sin just before Easter and just before Christmas. I know that we all sin, myself included, during the other months of the year. That's why we go to confession and need to go to confession more often. If we want to have peace within ourselves and peace around our table and peace in our world, we have to be at peace with God. So these are things that have to be considered, reflected upon, and chosen so that we can enjoy that fullness of blessing and life and happiness that we are so grateful for on this long weekend as we gather together with family and friends and acknowledge how much we have received, how rich we truly are, how abundant are God's gifts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.